talk about how terrible those jerseys look.
Huh?
The All-Star game jerseys.
Oh, God, yeah, those are horrendous. And you like a lot of crazy jerseys, so if they're these are bad, like, wow. They've got to be really bad for you to be like, nope.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Pod!
Welcome, everybody! Welcome to What the Puck! It's a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Joining me, as always, we got my buddy Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I am feeling good. The Capitals are looking good. Since the last time that we talked, the Capitals have gone on not a winning streak, because there is one loss in there. But overall, I mean, these guys are impressing me constantly. Every time I watch one of these games, they are looking better and better. I don't want to say a team. I don't want them to like peak too soon. But right now, everyone is playing exceptionally well. What is your take on this team so far? Kind of like we're at like the midpoint in the season, and it was a little rough there at the beginning, and then around like, you know, Thanksgiving time, they still weren't looking good. But it seems as if now that we've hit the halfway point, the Winter Classic is behind us, things are clicking for this team, and it seems as if they're all moving in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, the teams are playing great as of late. Since we last talked, they went 3-0-1 with wins over Toronto, Detroit, and Colorado. And unfortunately, they had an overtime loss to Philly. But if you go back, I mean, they haven't lost in regulation since the 23rd against the Rangers. And I think they have, what, two losses in regulation since December 2nd. Everything else has been a win or an overtime loss. So they've been playing exceptionally as of late. And I think they just keep going on this streak and get a couple of key losses by some other of the guys in the Metropolitan Division, then they definitely have things going their way. They've been playing great lately. The second line has really clicked. Burakovsky's looked – he's looked pretty good on the first line. I think there's definitely an opportunity for someone else to come in potentially and take that first line right wing spot. But I think he's done – they're getting more comfortable. That's the thing. You can see Kuznetsov is already very comfortable in what he's been doing lately on the second line with Johansson and Brouwer. And you can see that Burakovsky is definitely looking – more and more comfortable on that first line. He's getting more confident. He's getting there. He's not there yet, but he's getting there. Third line's playing well. Fourth line's playing well. I think Trotz even came out and said he wanted to play Lotto, but he doesn't want to disrupt the lineup the way it is going right now. And so, you know, it's sort of tough with the way this team is playing right now to look at any major changes that are necessary for the lineup.
Yeah, you got to talk about this guy, too. The last game, Colorado Avalanche, possibly playing his best game as a Capital in his career, Yevgeny Kuznetsov. A guy who I've been thinking about it, and as I'm driving home from work or whatever, and he's like, oh, we're going to do our What the Puck Awards at the end of the year. I said, I don't want to say that this guy is, you know, like one of the least improved guys, or I forget what, like, what some of the stuff we have, like most wasteful of cap space or whatever. And I was like, I hope I don't have to say it about this kid, because I like him a lot and I think he's a good hockey player. But especially for a guy like Kuznetsov, you saw it in this game against Colorado. He's playing exceptionally well. Barry Trotz is really working well with him. It finally seems as if he's clicking, and it seems like he might be the answer for that second line center spot.
I think the way he's playing right now, he definitely is that answer. I have to look it up, but I'm pretty sure at one point last night he was like 6-for-6 or 7-for-7 in terms of his faceoffs. I mean, he was fantastic. I think I saw somewhere they were giving a lot of credit to Jay Beagle in terms of his faceoffs and the way things have been going lately for him. But he won 67% of his faceoffs last night, which I think is phenomenal for a guy who they were not viewing as a center initially when he came over. And then now he's playing very well on that first line. And if he can continue playing the way he's been playing, then he's going to do just fine. Yeah, Johansson's certainly more comfortable. He's a lot more aggressive this season than he's been in the past, and Brouwer is Brouwer. He's going to keep doing his thing. So the second line with Kuznetsov there, I think, has been doing great as of late.
Yeah, absolutely. And another guy we got to bring up, you already said his name once during this show. I say his name all the time because I'm such a big fan of this dude. Jay Beagleman playing, you know, spinning around on his head.
Dude, he's on fire.
He is doing so good. Every time that this guy gets a goal, the Capitals win. I think they said it after the game against the Avalanche that he has gotten that Honest Abe hat and beard the most this season. He's the guy that's worn it the most and been the star of the game. Jay Beagle, absolutely stunning. And a lot of people saying, you know, we're very upset when he was playing with Ovechkin and Backstrom on the top line last year and this year. But, I mean, you really can't complain about the guy. He's getting his job. He's getting every single job put in front of him done. He's been able to build on his game as well. You know, we always said that he was a big Dale Hunter was a big fan of his because he was an offensive guy, but he was very defensive minded. I feel as if now with Barry Trotz, he's been more of a well-rounded player where he can be more offensive or more defensive depending on what line he's on.
Well, I think Beagle is definitely a fourth line guy, third line if you need him to. I think the fact is he's playing great defensively, and that's creating offensive opportunities because his line has clicked so well between him and Chimera and Tom Wilson. I think you keep these guys together doing well. Beagle's finding his way to the net, and he's getting in the right spots, and that's how he's getting the goals. He's still a defensive-minded guy. He's definitely not an offensive player, but he's making the most of the offensive opportunities that he has, and that's exactly what you want from your fourth line when they're given those chances that they capitalize on them. You know, you don't expect them to be scoring all the goals, but the fact that he's able to get the goal the other night, which is a really nice one, that you can't ask for more from the fourth line right now, and especially Jay Beagle.
Yeah, Beagles has been looking great. Alex Ovechkin's doing a great job, especially being the captain of this team. He set a franchise record for his 75th game-winning goal when he was up against the Colorado Avalanche. Everybody on this team is doing a great job, and that's something you want to see from a whole team. It's not just the two stars that are kind of pulling their weight and doing everything. It is literally everybody on this team is coming together and playing well.
Yeah, I mean, right now I can't really think of one player I can be upset. You know, I like being upset with players. I like having the opportunity to yell at somebody. But I can't really think of anybody right now. I'm going to yell. You know who I'm yelling at? That stupid little mini slap shot. That's who I'm yelling at right now. What's his name?
Patrick.
Dude, I got no one else to yell at right
you,
now.
You
no
leave that there. Guy alone. He's got a backwards cap.
Sucks.
He is
that
rad.
That guy is dumb. No, honestly, I can't think of anybody to really be that upset with right now. In the game against Colorado, you wanted the offense to be a little bit better, and they had a couple opportunities, but hitting the post. Kuznetsov hitting every freaking post he can find. It's ridiculous. But Varlamov was playing well, so credit to him. But there's really no one to be upset with right now, I guess. The team's playing well. Yeah. And that's pretty much it. It's kind of hard. It's difficult right now to sort of talk. I mean, we can say how well they're doing. The lines are just clicking. Yes, there's the opportunity to bring in a first line right winger if you have that chance to play with Ovechkin and Backstrom and have them be that much better. But power play is doing well. The PK is doing well. Everybody's blocking shots when they need to. Was it Burakovsky had one off his body the other night and in the game against Colorado? So there's not a lot of people to be upset with right now. And Niskanen. He's had a couple of dumb plays, but I think one of his – he made a stupid pass in the game against – I think Detroit's lone goal might have been – or maybe it was Colorado's goal. Niskanen made a stupid pass to try and clear the zone. But the Caps ended up winning the game, so, you know, it's something you want to clean up a little bit. But Niskanen's been playing well. I have nothing to complain about with him. The team's doing well right now, and it's just, you know, keep going. Got to keep going.
Yeah, the big thing with this past Colorado Avalanche game, I was very impressed with this team because you are going against a guy, Varley, that knows the Capitals very well. You know, everybody there knows Varley very well, and Varley, he has been, you know, up for a couple NHL awards, being, you know, one of the best goalies in the league. So to be able to come out with you know, without going into overtime, come out with just a regular win with 2 points is a huge coup for this team. We've seen them go up against other big bad teams like the Blackhawks in the Winter Classic and able to come out on top. Varley, he's a guy that you gotta throw off his game. You got a mistake and you got to get some of those dirty goals, and that's what those guys were able to do as well as, you know, the normal Ovechkin spot goals. So that's a great thing to see in this past game, that they're doing everything they can to make sure that they're the winning team, including Braden Holtby. I mean, what a crazy season this guy has had, especially after such a tumultuous season tumultuous. That's not the right word.
Tumultuous.
You're gonna say it for me. That kind of season last year. he's obviously the number one goaltender here in Washington. He's playing amazing. I mean, the coach doesn't want to take him out of any of these games because he's doing so well. And I think he proved last night up against a guy who. It's not nothing personal against Varley, but one of the reasons why Holtby didn't come up earlier was because Varley and Nuvi were fighting against each other of who was going to get that number one spot, and Varley declared, "I want that number one spot, and if you don't give it to me, I'm leaving," and then took off. So it kind of shows that the Caps may have made the right move with keeping Holtby here, but he also becomes, you know, a free agent next season, which is something for the Caps to worry about in the summer.
He's restricted, so they still have they have the rights to him, but right. Any team can sign him to a contract, and then the Caps would have to match it no matter what it is. But I fully expect him to be re-signed at some point before the season is over. Hope he's not going anywhere. He's the goalie for the future of this team, unless he suddenly craps the bed. He's their guy that they're going to go with, no questions asked, and they're going to get him to a new contract. The question is, how much is it going to cost? I mean, right now, looking at the salary cap, they have... I don't know where the cap's going to be necessarily next season. If it stays right around where it is now, they'll have about $22 million to spend. You have a bunch of guys that are coming up on free agency. Joel Ward's going to be an unrestricted free agent, as is Eric Fair and Jay Beagle. You also have Aaron Volpatti, John Erskine, and Jack Hillen, but those two are likely not going to come back. Hillen might, as well as Mike Green. So you have some big-name unrestricted free agents. You also have to re-sign Marcus Johansson and Evgeny Kuznetsov. And then we have to have money for Holtby. Chris Brown's contract's up, Patrick Way, Nate Schmidt, Cameron Schilling. Schmidt's probably going to have – Schmidt's in a whole other story in terms of his injury. But you got to pay Holtby, and you got to figure out what you're doing the rest of these guys. So I would fully expect a couple of these guys that I just mentioned that, you know, will not be back with this team next season just because they may not have the cap space.
You know, that's something we'll definitely talk about once this season is over. There's plenty of stuff to talk about because those are, everybody you just named. Great additions to this team. Great talent on this team. How do you say no to a couple of these guys? And we'll talk about.
I'll tell you how. You say no to John Erskine and Eric Volpatti.
Well, I mean, that's kind of like a given.
And you trade Jason Chimera.
So, yeah, I mean, we'll see where Chimera lands. I think he hasn't had a
point. It's nothing personal.
No,
they need the cap space.
Yeah, he hasn't had a point, I think, in 9 games, so that definitely tells you something about him.
He didn't get an assist in the Beagles? No, he didn't get the assist in Beagles. Oh, yeah, he did.
Did he? So that was his first
point in 9 games. He has an assist. Okay, so that's a problem. And it's nothing personal against Chimera. I like the guy. I like what he brings to the team. But for $2 million in a cap hit, you need that money. You need to re-sign Marcus Johansson unless you want to let him go. But then you don't have anybody in your team right now unless you make a trade that's going to fill his spot. And, you know, I mean, maybe Burakovsky could be that guy, but I don't think that's the case. And I don't think Jakub Vrána is there just yet, so he's not going to be the guy filling on that second line. So need somebody. So Johansson's probably coming back. Are you going to hang on to Joel Ward? You can let him go. That frees up $3 million in cap space. So they have some interesting decisions to make when they come to the offseason. But that's still a bit of a while from now.
Yeah, we still got some time to think about that. Let's talk about Nate Schmidt. And this is something else that'll kind of lead into what I want to talk to you about. Nate Schmidt injured while he was down with the Hershey Bears. He's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. So that's a pretty big loss for a guy who was playing exceptionally well in the early point in the season. Jack Hillen's kind of come into his own, filling in for Schmidt, but it looked like Schmidt kind of claimed that spot for himself. Here's my question for you. We've seen Barry Trotz use the Hershey Bears as kind of like a way to work off some rust. He did the same thing with Justin Peters. So Peters got a game, so he wasn't just sitting on the bench for so long. He sent Nate Schmidt down to kind of work out the rust as well, since he was sitting on the bench a little bit. Did the same thing with Burakovsky. I like the fact that he's sending guys down so they're not just sitting in the press box or sitting on the bench waiting to have their spot, you know, get called. I like the fact that he's trying to keep these guys active and he knows how important being a part of the game is. But at the same time, you do run into factors like this, like injuries. It is the AHL. It's guys that don't have as much skill as a lot of the NHLers, so they are taking a little bit more, a couple more risks. And I don't know how the Nate Schmidt injury happened, but definitely scary to think about a guy who potentially could have been a full time Capital get hurt like this on a Hershey Bears game. So really, is this the best thing for Barry Trotz to do, to send guys down to work off the rust? Because there's going to be a chance that they get injured and they're not going to be able to help you out, like in Schmidt's case, for 6 to 8 weeks.
Guys get hurt from time to time. It's an unfortunate part of the game. And the fact that it happened, it's a freak accident. You never can really plan for someone to get hurt unless they already has a nagging injury going along with it, which I don't think Schmidt had. So it's unfortunate for him. It's unfortunate for the team, but it's sort of, you know, it just sucks. It is what it is, and it happened. And I think Hillen's been playing well enough right now that it's not going to really hurt the team all that much. They brought up Alexi, who can fill in, and hopefully Orlov is back soon. So we'll see. I mean, if this injury helps anybody, it's Dmitry Orlov, if he can come back before Schmidt is ready, because he can kind of go out there and have the opportunity to show if he's the guy that should be playing with Mike Green. But, I feel bad for Schmidt, but it is the way it is. And when you play sports for a living, sometimes you get hurt. That's just the reality of the business that he's in.
Yeah, and hopefully he'll get back. I like the fact that Barry Trotz sends the guys down. It just, you do run that risk of guys.
You want him to get him a chance to play. They did the same thing with Justin Peters. He hadn't played in a while because Holpe's playing amazing. And they wanted to give him the chance to play.
Yeah, and I love the fact that they brought up Phoenix Copley, a North Pole Alaskan guy. And he was playing for the Stingrays at the beginning of this season. So for him to go from South Carolina to Hershey and at least back up Braden Holtby for the NHL, you know, it had to be a dream come true for that kid, because that was his first time, you know, at least being at an NHL bench. So that's pretty cool that they brought Phoenix Copley up.
Yeah, I thought it was a nice little touch. I mean, he wasn't going to play, so that was certainly not a concern in any way, shape, or form. But for the guy to get the opportunity to come up and play, practice with the team and get some work with Mitch Korn, the goaltender's coach, I think it was a good thing for him and for his development. We'll see. I mean, I don't think he's going to be playing for the Capitals anytime soon, but it was a nice thing for them to do for him, to give him the opportunity to come up and sort of hang out with the team for a little while.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's going from a guy who hasn't played many games in the NHL to a guy who's played many, many games in the NHL and now is going to be selected for the NHL All-Star Game. Alex Ovechkin representing the Capitals in the All-Star Game this year. A little upset. No Nicky Backstrom, no John Carlson. I was expecting those two names to be a part of this as well, but at least we have one Capital in the game this year.
Well, every team's got to be represented, but it was definitely some crap not having Backstrom, and especially Braden Holtby. I mean, he has a better GAA and save percentage than Sergei Bobrovsky, but Holtby's not going and Bobrovsky isn't. That does not make any sense to me. And every team's got to be represented, but Columbus already had two representatives in Nick Foligno and Ryan Johansson, so they did not need to have Bobrovsky as well. Holtby's stats are better. He's been playing amazing and should have had the opportunity to go play in Columbus as part of the All-Star game, so he got robbed definitely.
And I want to say that I think Nick Backstrom, I'm a little surprised that he isn't there. He's a great talent. He's never been in an All-Star game. I fully think that he ought to be a part of it.
Yeah, I could not agree more. I think Backstrom's been having a great season. And the thing is, he's so quiet that, of course, they wouldn't give him the opportunity to come and play. And he probably doesn't even care. He just wants to go out and play hockey. He doesn't care if he's part of the All-Star game. For him, it's probably like 3-day weekend. He just go and hang out at home and hang out with his baby and his girlfriend, I think, at the moment. He probably could not care less about that sort of stuff. But it's disappointing that he doesn't get recognized by the NHL for being the phenomenal player that he is.
And let's bring up this point, even though we're just in Caps world here. Let's talk about those wonderful All-Star game jerseys.
They suck.
Wow. I mean, I don't even know. They're black and white, and they have...
Words escape you.
It's neon green on the sleeves, and there's stripes on, the inside of the arm, and there's a chrome NHL logo.
Sucks.
Yeah.
They are the worst.
I compare
them. They're worse than the Caps Winter Classic jerseys.
Hey, we both agree that they get a pass. They get a pass now.
They won.
Yeah, but these jerseys, I mean, it reminds me of a suit you would see in Tron Legacy from 4 or 5 years ago. But the chrome logo, if you're trying to be modern and everything, isn't the modern look matte, flat? Logos, not there's no texture, nothing has a drop shadow anymore. Everything is just it's a bright color and just a flat logo on it. Why are you doing chrome? the Stadium Series, those logos did not work in the Stadium Series last year. You're bringing it back now? Why would you do that?
They suck.
You know, the one time that a chrome logo like that would be okay to use, if the All-Star Game was in Detroit, because that kind of looks like a car emblem, okay? So I understand.
All right, I'll buy that.
Yeah, but Columbus, why? If you're hosting in Columbus, why are you neon green, and why does it look like you're about to go to a rave and do, like, LSD or something?
Because the NHL's stupid. I literally can't think of any other reason. They're terrible. I mean, a lot of the times the All-Star jerseys are pretty bad, but you're just kind of like, well, you tried. This one just looks like... And this is someone's effort, they need to be fired. it's so bad. They're terrible. They're the worst. The worst. And I buy hockey jerseys. I mean, I'm staring at a bunch of them at the moment. Man, those are bad.
I won't be purchasing an Ovechkin one in any way. Not happening.
I got nothing. I was going to say, like... I won't even be watching the game because of them, but that's so not true.
Yeah. So,
even the All-Star games is so silly just because the guy, if you go as a defenseman, you're just like, okay, I'm playing offense. Like, do not care about playing defense in the All-Star game. No one does. The scores are like 18 to 17. It's very silly because the guys go out there and try and score as much as they can because no one cares about playing defense.
I think one of the years Ovechkin was in it, he made history because he was the first guy to cause a penalty shot in the All-Star game, I think, because he threw his stick at someone going towards his goal, trying to get them to, you know, because he was playing defense at that point. And I forget who it was against, but they got a penalty shot because of it. So Ovi making history at least.
I mean... Like, the skills stuff is fun. I still remember years ago when Ovechkin did the whole the hat with the two flags and, yeah. And the two sticks. And he's – that kind of stuff, you want the guys to go out and show that they have personalities and such. And so it was very silly, but the whole thing's fun. But those jerseys, man.
Really bad.
They are the worst.
Really bad. Anything else we should talk about before we leave Caps World?
No.
I'm
staring at the salary cap stuff for next season and wondering how this team's going to line up. I mean, you could very well have very similar lineup next season. I just don't know how, because you have to somehow create more money.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the off season. We got time to think about that. Let's just enjoy some hockey here. So,
They're playing well.
Yeah,
I can actually, you know, it's not like last season where you're like they might be halfway decent.
Yeah,
I'm just hoping they're not peaking at the wrong time.
Right. Yeah, we're halfway through. So, I mean, if you want to take a little lull after, you know, around the All-Star break, whatever, that's fine. You just pick back up since we're at the halfway point.
I don't even know if you can do that because. Standings right now, where did it go? I had the standings go from a second ago. They are they're very tight. Right now the Caps are, the Islanders are leading the Metropolitan Division. What the hell? They're 2 points behind Pittsburgh for second, three behind the Islanders, but they played one more game than Pittsburgh. They played the same amount of game as the Islanders. And they played three less games than the Rangers, and they're only 2 points ahead of them. So someone's got to start losing, and hopefully it's not the Capitals.
I don't want it to ever be the Capitals, and I was worried starting off this season under Barry Trotz it was going to take some time and that there was going to be a lot of losses to begin with, and halfway through the season it looks like the he's, you know, righted the ship and that things are starting to click. So halfway through, I'm happy with these guys. If you look at a lot of their stats, I mean, John Walton brought it up before the last game on Monday night, and he brought up the fact that every single player has improved in their standings. You know, people that were minus whatever are now plus whatever. I'm not going into specific players, but like everybody is looking better right now under Barry Trotz and doing a great job of that. So I think that's pretty much it for Caps World this week. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll have a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network, but we'll be right back with Down on the Farm. So this is What the Puck, and here's the Baltimore Sports Report.
What the Puck? What the Puck is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, here we go down on the farm. We already talked about Schmitty's injury with the Hershey Bears, but we're going to hear a little bit more about the Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays while we're down on the farm. But Coach Dan the Duck.
No.
Tell us what's going on down on the farm, Danny the Duck.
No. Okay, fine. Let's see. Since we last talked, Hershey went 2-1 with wins over Albany and Norfolk. The Bears are currently second in the East Division with a record of 19-13-5, good for 43 points. 1 point behind first place Wilkes-Barre Scranton. So they are coming up on that first place spot. The Bears play next on Saturday at the Giant Center in Hershey against Albany, and again at home against Lehigh Valley on Sunday. Now, interestingly enough, Saturday's promotion for the Bears against the against Albany is Washington Capitals night, ooh, which involves members of the Red Rockers and ooh, Slapshot being on site during the game.
Yeah.
See, now when I first read it, I thought it would be cool, and this is what I thought it was going to be, is if they also wore Caps jerseys that night. Remember years ago they had like the Hershey Bears Caps jersey things? Those are cool. So I was kind of hoping that's what it was going to be, but it doesn't appear to be. Also on Sunday, the first – and remember, you have Monday off. Sunday, the first 3,000 fans will get a Labatt Blue pint glass.
Did you see what the giveaway was last Saturday?
No, am I going to be upset?
No, it was a Nathan Walker standing with a kangaroo snow globe.
Oh, damn it, I want that so bad.
Yeah, it was.
I did see that.
That was pretty awesome.
Oh, I want one of those.
I know. I haven't been up to a Bears game yet this year. The stuff they're handing out and getting to see some more Red Rockers, always a good time to see some Red Rockers. How you doing, Red Rockers? I'll go to Hershey to see you. Maybe I'll get up to one of the games this weekend or hopefully soon because I have not been to a game yet. And Hershey Bears, oh, such a good place to see a game.
It really is. I haven't gone to a game yet this season, but I definitely need to go soon.
Absolutely. So how about we go to South Carolina and see the Stingrays play?
Let's see. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 1-2 with a win over Gwinnett. They are currently fourth in the East Division with a record of 17-12-6, good for 40 points, 10 back of first place Florida. I wish they were a little closer so that we could go see some South Carolina games. Those are pretty cool.
I know, right? It's a 9-hour drive from Baltimore. I've checked it out.
A little far.
Yeah.
For some minor league hockey.
I do miss the Reading games. Like even that, you know, 2 hours for me, I was like, geez, this is pretty far away. I can't believe I did this in one night. I'm old now, but at least that was a little bit more convenient for fans to just go to Reading and see a game. But 9 hours away at South Carolina, I mean, I'm happy that the Stingrays are a part of the Caps. There's a lot of history there, but oh, what a drive to see younger guys.
Get an ECHL team in Baltimore. The Stingrays play next on Saturday at the North Charleston Coliseum against Toledo. Saturday again at home against Indianapolis, and then against Sunday against Toledo. They're playing Toledo all the time now, apparently. That's what's going on. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, very cool. So Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, you guys keep doing what you're doing. Get those guys ready for NHL Caps hockey. So that is it for Down on the Farm, Danny the Duck. Thank you so much.
No.
And now we are going to go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we are. We are going around the NHL. It's not just the Capitals. There's all other stuff going on. Someone's been concussed. Someone's been suspended. Someone is hurt in some way, and Coach Dan's going to tell us about it. So, Coach, what's going on around the NHL?
Well, let's start with some sad news. As the father of Minnesota forward Zach Parise and longtime NHL player, mostly with the Minnesota North Stars, J.P. Parise passed away last Thursday from lung cancer. He was 73. Anaheim retired the jersey number of longtime Duck Teemu Selänne this past Sunday night in their game against Winnipeg. During warmups, the players wore different versions of the jerseys that Selänne wore during his time in Winnipeg and Anaheim, which I actually saw pictures of and look very cool for them to do that kind of a thing. Longtime Buffalo goalie and occasional psychopath Dominik Hasek will have his jersey retired by the Sabres prior to their game against Detroit tonight being Tuesday. Columbus signed goalie Sergei Bobrovsky to a 4-year extension worth a reported total of $29.7 million. Get this. That comes out to a cap hit of $7.425 million per season.
Woo.
Holy crap. He becomes the second highest paid goalie in the NHL behind Henrik Lundqvist. Now, while he got paid, a couple of players will be losing money as Florida's Vincent Trocheck was fined $2,000 for diving / embellishment after his theatrics in a game against the Capitals back on January 4th, a game in which the Caps won 4-3, so suck it. Detroit's Gustav Nyquist was also fined $2,000 for diving / embellishment for his cheating ways in a game against Boston on December 29th. And finally, Nashville's Peter Laviolette and LA's Daryl Sutter will serve as head coaches of the two poorly dressed teams during the NHL All-Star game on January 25th. That's the news for the past week in the NHL.
Very, very nicely said there at the end. So this is what's going on until we talk again. The game's coming up Wednesday night, rivalry night. January 14th, the Flyers are visiting the phone booth. They will be in D.C. up against the Capitals. That start time is at 8 o'clock. That is nationally televised, and that is on NBC Sports.
Which means they're going to lose.
That was last season. Not this season.
All right, fair enough.
A game I'm really excited to check out. This is going to be a good one. Friday, January 16th, the Capitals travel to Nashville up against the Predators. That game is at 8 o'clock. That is on Comcast Sportsnet Plus and the NHL Network. On Saturday, January 17th, the Capitals are up against the Stars in Dallas. Again, 8 o'clock start time. A little late this week. Comcast Sportsnet is where you can watch that. And then the Caps come back in town on Tuesday, January 20th, up against the Edmonton Oilers, who are coming down from Canada. Hopefully they bring some Timbits. That game is at 7 o'clock, Comcast Sportsnet. Timbits from Tim Hortons, eh? Come on now, eh?
So I have no idea what you're talking about.
Tim Hortons. Come on.
No, I know what Tim Hortons is.
Timbits.
I think I've only gotten hockey. I've only gotten coffee from there.
Timbits. They're munchkins. They're Dunkin' Donuts munchkins, but they're Timbits because it's Tim Hortons, eh? You just have to end every sentence with A because it's Canadian, eh?
All right, calm down, Scherbatsky.
Nobody asked you, Patrice!
All right, so let's talk about this game. I wanted to bring it up earlier in the show, forgot about it, so we're going to bring it up now. Friday, January 16th, Capitals in Nashville up against the Predators. What do you think this means for Barry Trotz here? This is his return home. I mean, he was there for 16 years. He was coaching that team. He's a very long tenured relationship with the Nashville Predators. For him to come with his new team, does this, you know, energize the boys? Does this get them pumped that, you know, I got to beat the team that fired me? Is it what do you think is going to kind of go through his head? Do you think he's more level headed than just like, let's beat the tar out of him? Or what do you think he's thinking?
Let's beat the tar out of him. No, I think that he's going to go into this game with a lot of emotions, a lot of, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he started walking the wrong way into the home dressing room. But I mean, sure, it's got to be a little tough to go up against his old team, but I don't think things definitely did not end with any sort of anger or resentment towards him. I think he definitely left Nashville with a lot of people liking what he did there, and he just couldn't seem to get them to the next spot, or they felt like they needed a change in terms of their coach, and they decided to go with a different direction. But I think it's not a situation where he got fired because he was doing poorly. It was merely – it's sort of like Boudreaux coming back to, you know, whenever he comes back to Washington. The fans still have a soft spot for him and still like him, and so I think it's the same thing in Nashville with Trotz. I think he'll get a warm reception they'll announce his name, I'm guessing, or show him on the big screen. I'm sure that Trotz will get a nice round of applause.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll do like a little video for him and everything. But just from being, you know, a hockey fan and a football fan, if you know the Ravens, you know the situation with Steve Smith. He got let go by Carolina. They said he was too old. We're going to let you go because we don't feel as if you're doing, you know, enough for this team. And he comes to Baltimore with a chip on his shoulder and, you know, he plays his heart out against the Carolina Panthers in week 4. And, you know, that was his whole focus when he was here. I mean, week number 1, he does a couple catches with the Ravens and looks at the camera and goes, you better be ready for me on week 4. I'm going to prove you wrong. I don't feel it's as if it's the same thing with hockey and with Barry Trotz and the Nashville Predators.
It might be, but I don't think with the coaches unless – I mean, it wasn't a bad split. Yeah. You know, so I don't think he's going in there going, we have to prove you wrong from firing me. It was time, I guess.
Yeah, and
16 years is a long time.
Absolutely. And with, you know, every single game you go into, you're looking for that W. You're looking for that win. I'm pretty sure the team knows, you know, this is where Barry Trotz came from. So I'm sure they're going to play a little bit harder for him. At least I hope they will. But you got to think, at least if he's not willing to admit it, but in the back of his mind, you know he's thinking, I want to beat these guys because I got this new team here. But that's where I came from. But I still need that W. I want to beat these guys to kind of show that I still got it, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure he's going to be way more humble, but seems like the way that Barry Trotz is. But this game, I mean, this is the first time I believe these two teams are meeting. This has got to be a special game that you got to be really interested in if you're a Caps fan. You definitely want to watch this one just because there is a backstory there. This has definitely got more backstory than the friggin' Winter Classic did.
Well, that's certainly true. I mean, the Winter Classic had zero backstory, but it is what it is, and Trotz, he did a great job for the Predators, and he's doing a great job for the Caps right now, and I see no reason for anyone to give him a hard time.
Yeah, so that'll be a good one to watch, and plenty of stuff to watch, and I believe, let's see, what was that? The last game was on the 20th up against the Oilers. Then you don't see the Caps again for another week because of the All-Star game. So it's going to be a lonely week after that. So get your Caps hockey in now. If you want to continue the conversation about the Washington Capitals or puck or anything you guys want to talk about, any kind of NHL hockey, you can always tweet to me. My Twitter account is at Brando Cash and Coach Den. He's on Twitter as well. Where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also find me at CapitalsOutsiders.com. This is a Caps fan one website devoted to Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads. In case Brandon wants any more bobbleheads with Slapshot and weird outfits and poses, or
he's in a tux for this month because of the new year.
He's in a tux. It's $45 or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, $45. Yeah.
I have a new idea brewing for a new article. Hopefully I'll have out in the next week or two. But, that's CapitalsOutsider.com. But, Brandon, what about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get information about What the Puck and all the other shows we do from Brando Cash Entertainment. Also, check out cool photos and videos that we got posted up there. I took some great photos over the weekend. I still have to edit them. But I just want to say congratulations to my friends Brad and Angie. Had a baby girl on Saturday.
Hey,
all right. That's actually my goddaughter's parents. So my goddaughter now has a little sister named Lily Hope. So congratulations to you guys. I'm glad everybody's healthy and happy, and I'll get working on those photos right after the podcast, I swear. So you can also go to facebook.com/BrandoCash, like us on Facebook, and you'll know the second a show gets posted, whether it be What the Puck or any of the other podcasts out there. And you can also like What the Puck on Facebook, facebook.com/WTP podcast. Follow it on Twitter at WTP_podcast. Now, we talk about this every single week. You guys are sick and tired of me talking about it. So help us out so I don't have to keep bringing it up. You guys got to let your friends know that you're a Washington Capitals fan and that you listen to What the Puck. So let people know and be social on the web. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit. Anywhere you are social on the web. Use Match.com. I mean, that's cool too. Tell somebody, hey, I'm a hockey fan. Listen to this podcast. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck. It is completely free and you should listen too. So that is pretty much it for What the Puck this week. They got a couple games coming up, a real tough one in Philadelphia, or not in Philadelphia. The Philadelphia Flyers are coming here, but the Flyers are a tough team to beat, and we want to make sure the Caps get as many wins as possible, especially against a team like that in the East. So I want to hear you on Wednesday night, Rivalry Night, Verizon Center. Get loud and everybody scream, let's go Caps!
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
Of course, you know, Ovi setting his a record here, getting his 75th goal of his guy. Sorry.
Okay, the other thing I'm going to talk about on the show.
Hold on, sorry. It's an ad that won't stop playing.
Wait, I know what that is.
I think this is for Crackle. There's no pause button.
Guess who is in need of a contract after the season?
We're going to talk about Holpe?
Yep.
All right.
And he Crackle. Is going to get paid.
All right, hold on. I'm stupid.
Hey, Crackle, shut up.
All right. All right, here we go.
The Stingrays play next on Saturday at the North Carolina. Sorry, let me try that again.
You like that, Danny the Duck? I was thinking about that on the way home.
Nope.
I
prefer you focus on the road, but that's just me.